Hello, everybody. Welcome to the house of Larry Lamont's, where you always will receive a double helping of truth and justice. Come on in, sheesh. So glad to have you with us tonight. I'm going to forego on the preliminaries of the carnage that's been going on around the country of mass shootings and so forth for tonight, and we're going to enter with a special on that on Flashback Friday. Even as a person who have had to survive an assassination attempt, a gunshot in the face, point blank, with a 38, it's very important to me. And speaking to doctors and so forth and personnel, many people around here never heard of it because it wasn't put in the paper as it should have been or in the media. And as I was asked today, did they ever catch the person who done it? And of course, I told them, I said no, because the police was laughing at it. They thought it was funny until I started spitting blood on the floor of the police department and got very serious, in a trash can because they didn't want to have to clean it up. But they thought it was hilarious. Ambulance attendants too. But we're going to deal with that because there's some things going on here in this area where some politicians are trying to get grants for the city to fight the violence in this city. The statistics are high for something like 400 and something odd communities in the state and so forth. We're number one and I think three. If the statistics are correct, I had to go over again before Friday's show, of violence in the state, meaning that city and the township. And I told you that before they did the demographics and did the analytical breakdown of violence, how violent this little city, little burg is. But we're going to get into that and get into maybe some of the problems that could funding of $500,000 or $2 million help a little city such as this, or help a major city such as New York or Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. So we're not going to break down to do the whole show tonight and tell you where the latest atrocity is or was. And we're not going to tell you about the hate crimes that's still going on. But we're going to tell you that on Friday too, because it plays a major part of the violence in this country and in this area, where they think it's funny that a man running for public office survives an assassination attempt, but they think it's funny. But by the way, let me tell you this, and I want to let this be known. I go to the store, and the same young people that are bothering me, they shouldn't even know who I am, because I haven't run for nothing since, 1976. But they don't bother nobody else but me. I consider these people to be dangerous. I talked to the management. I told you before, and they said, we'll take care. But why are the same people still working there when they insulted me, that had other customers complain and say, you need to get rid of them? I didn't even know the people, but they didn't like what was happening, what they saw. But they bother one little old man, me. I consider these people to be dangerous. I consider young women, I consider their boyfriends to be dangerous and a potential assassin. And this is not a conspiracy theory. You know I don't really talk about conspiracies. I tell you about facts. I don't trust them. Like I went to the store on Sunday. The same young lady standing there bagging groceries because she's too stupid to work the cash register. She probably can't even make change out of a dollar. I'm being frank. But she know how to bother people. And she rolled her eyes at me when I went over on the side, and I turned around looking at her, and I gave you the same. I told you the same deathly stare you gave me. Then she turned around and talked to the other woman who had harassed me and said something in front of all of the rest of the customers. No need to go back and tell the management when they should have got rid of them then. But I want to let you know that if something happened to me, this is public records. They are the first one to look at, as well as the police department and folks here. They're the first to look at. I don't make no enemies. I don't go out. I don't have nobody in here. But they made me their enemies simply because of who I am. That's when you're famous and a celebrity. That's what I told the state. I'm a celebrity, whether you like it or not. And I was told, you'll always be, and the federal government tell me, you always will be a former presidential candidate. Remember, that's history. They don't have to like it, but it's history. So we hope that I will be here on Flashback Friday for one more gig, because my health is good. Unless somebody make a dent in it like they did before. But I'm going to try to defend myself to make sure that doesn't occur. Our show that we're going to deal with tonight, I wanted to keep it just a little secret. I didn't write a teaser or anything for it. It's the coronation of Charles III in Great Britain this weekend. I woke up early, as I told you I was. Matter of fact, I didn't go to sleep to make sure I didn't fall asleep, so I could see the beginning to the end. And I wish it was old-fashioned VCR, but you could tape it and have to tape for posterity, as I had some of the other records of the royal family and other historical facts. I had a big collection at the house. But we need to talk about that, because of things that occurred and things they left out, things wasn't mentioned. I really enjoyed it. Pomp and circumstance, they can make anything look good. And they can even make colonialism look good. They can make racist look and seem good. So here you have Charles, who had to wait for, 70 years to become King Charles III. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the arrogance of it, he kept his name. Most people, like the popes changed their name. But the kings and queens of Great Britain, they keep their name, just put a number to it. So he's the third Chuck who have led the British Empire to stretch all around the globe. They haven't really broke space to say that they have are in space or in Antarctica or under the ocean. But they're in deserts and jungles, and as well as cities. So I'm watching the festivities, and I told you what I look at first of all when I see something like that. I told you I'm a black man, and I look for the black folks. I look for the union label. Sheesh. You don't forget the writer's strike that's going on now. That seems like they got major support, but I still haven't heard any major information coming out about what they have planned for the diversity of black people, Asian, Hispanic, and older people, people with disability, gay rights individual to join the writer's table. Nobody cared about that. We're just worried about the salary of the white old elderly man that's trying to write stories for young black people. We're not going to get into that, but talking about watching the the television and the proceeding. And I like the historical aspect of it. So we'll deal with that at another occasion, because you know I'm a strong union man. But watching the festivities, I always look for the union label, which is the black man and the black woman and the black children. And you saw everywhere you turn, another black person. They had a group, I really don't know where they're from. I guess they're from one of the islands, maybe Barbados and so forth, singing and swaying. And you can see the look, the white royals' faces, and say, what the heck? Just like they did at the wedding of Meghan Merkel, when the same thing occurred, and they looked and said, what the heck is going on? And even the media had to ask that. So I knew that was coming. But that's black church. That's black people singing. And I think they did very well. They looked good and very spiffy in their white. Very little was told about their history, but it was Charles Day. And of course, the young black man, I don't know, he could be from India, manning the cannon. Never saw a person of color on a British cannon that they were strapped to the barrel. Sheesh. I mean, literally. That's how they used to do in India. To a dissident or somebody who wanted their freedom, or somebody who maybe even dropped a teacup. You know, King Leopold would cut your hand off, but the British would tie you up to a cannon, strap you down, and then set it off. Of course, blow you apart. Just like they used to do with taking horses and tying your arms and legs and then running them in different directions. Most harmful way to die. But that is why I thought it was very important that they point that out. Nobody thought that was important enough in the media to say, and then maybe even show pictures of it and illustrations of it. I would have had all that waiting. I had been the correspondent, illustrations and so forth, ready that I knew I saw him, that they're going to do it again, and to bring that point up and say, this is what they used to do, so and so and so and so. Now, we're not going to try to just pin everything on Charles, on Chuck. Chuck didn't do all of it by himself. He's a very disliked man in the British Empire. He's been that way for years, and especially since the death of Princess Diana, because many people think that he had something to do with her death. If nothing but run her away from her home and her family, in the safety of the castle, to run to foreign lands with foreign men. Hello. So these important facts that they show, one gentleman I spoke about during the funeral, who is a black officer, and he's there in the forefront. I don't know if he's in their joint chief, in their joint chief of staff, you know, if he's head of a military department for Great Britain. They don't think that's important enough. But he was walking by the coffin of Queen Elizabeth II, and now he's walking by the carriage of King Charles III. And if that's not important enough to point out the fact of who he is, maybe show him when he was young and coming up, was he able to go to Sandhurst and so forth like the British, who are allowed to go, not because they're smart, the British royalty, but because they are white and royal. Sheesh. But how did he get to the pinnacle of his position? And they called him the people's king, Charles. And just like Diana cared about people with AIDS and cared about the people with landmine survivors and eradicating those left behind, where children were stepping on and losing legs, as well as their lives. So Charles is supposed to be glowing, and Queen Camilla. So the beginning, and when you see the pomp and circumstance of the situation, I looked at it and I said, wow. And of course, First Lady Dr. Joe Biden represented the United States. I don't know how many guests each delegation could send, but I would have liked to have seen more of an American delegation, if it's nothing but the American ambassador. They didn't show him. They didn't mention him. Now, I like to have had somebody else go, but they told you about Lionel Richie and Katy Perry, who performed in the Jubilee I call it Jubilee, but celebrations, Black Jubilee is what they say, but this is not like the Queen's Jubilee, but for the King's party. And he did a joke with Lionel that now they're talking about, because he came through and he said, well, what are you doing here in the room of the palace, and say, how long are you going to be here using our room? It's funny to me. I really was interested in that vase, or face, whatever you want to call it, green vase behind him. I would like to have had them explain it. Lionel turn around and not just worry about the joke, but to have the king or Camilla explain that vase. How long has it been there in the collection? Maybe how expensive it is if they get to fighting that and knock it over, Katie and him get to, you know, disagreeing over who's going to open for whom. Sheesh. But we don't get none of the facts like that. So I sat and I watched the proceedings, watched the military, and to see the amount of Black women that you could see come from all over the Commonwealth in military uniforms, marching with their king. Even though much of the Commonwealth now is asking for independence and break it away, it's important to talk about it now than to try to talk about it then, you know, because they're celebrating. The leaders, who were the world leaders that were there? I really did not hear a list of the leaders. I just, a very small group of leaders they talked about. We never saw Elton John at all. If you talk about local boys, the local people, or Ringo Starr, or Paul McCartney, none of those people were mentioned. We didn't get a chance to see them. Should they not have been known when they showed up to enter the cathedral or whatever they were at, or didn't they have a part in a celebratory party afterwards? So the media dropped that. When you can't even worry about the local people that you know should have been there, and why would you have something else to do important when your leader is being sworn in or having the greatest party ever in the history of your nation? Why are foreign people coming to celebrate your leadership? And that gives me another point. You're talking about Great Britain being a colonizer, having servants and slaves and so forth until it was stopped. Why did they are so glad that American entertainers went to entertain that monarchy, but don't want to see them go to Saudi Arabia and entertain the monarchy there, or Dhabi? You know, they don't want them to go there. Well, they're just as bad as the Brits are just as bad as they are in treating people of color. But we relish that Lionel Richie's supposed to be a friend of Charles, that he went there. Let me get to the personal things that I'm going to touch on, and that would be Harriet, Andrew, and Louis. Little Louis! Louis! Yes. Now, these facts prove Mr. Larry right once again. I'm going to start off with Louis. I'm not going to end with him this week. I told you Louis had it in him. I told you Louis, all you had to do was show Louis fat meat is greasy. All you had to do was show Louis who's in charge, who's on first, who's on second, and who's on third. And your ass ain't coming home. You ain't coming out the dugout if you don't do what you told. Now, sheesh. So, I don't know what help they gave him medically and so forth and during that time period, but I'm pretty sure he received some in the time from the Jubilee to the coronation. But Louis come into himself. He stood there like a little soldier, just like John Kennedy. He wasn't thumbing his nose and wasn't grabbing his mother by the throat and all that stuff that he did during the Jubilee. He even was singing God Save the King and knew the words. But you talking about he's just a little baby. He don't know no difference. Sheesh. And I told you, I said, yeah, right. That kid is diabolically no more than you think he know. He tried to break free. I didn't notice those things because they didn't show him on camera, but up on the balcony where he did some of his antics, he did just for a second or two some things, maybe like hit his hand. I mean, but it wasn't that bad. It's what little children will do. Before he was Damien, he was the Omen. The other day, he was just a child. That's what I think they say, 5 years old. Five-year-old child. Being a five-year-old child. And it was great. And especially to see him with his sister, Charlotte. And she probably, to me, was the best dressed. Old Charlotte and her regalia. And she's always proper, her and Georgie. Georgie's carrying along with the other squires and pages. He's the master of the page. He can't be one of the boys. He got the lead. That's why he told the students at school, you better be nice to me because one day my father's going to be king. And they made it quite clear that one day little Georgie going to be king. And sheesh. And not you. Anybody else but little Georgie. And there's Uncle Harry came to the proceeding from the United States. Left his wife Megan and his children at home. Even Archibald's birthday. Sheesh. But of course he was there for his pappy's coronation, which he should have been. I think the whole litany of crap that's been going on with them is just as bad as the colonization that Great Britain did for hundreds of years. the fighting, just like the Hatfields and the McCoys. But pass the jug, Granny. You know, that's all you got to do. Break some cornbread and say, here, let's sit down and some cornbread and greens or something. But let's become family again. Whatever they partake in, but they always at each other's throat, trying to disrespect the other. I think that's partly the reason why Queen Elizabeth II passed on. I think that she might have been able to hold on a little longer if she didn't have the stress of Harry, Andrew, and Louis. Aunt Meghan had some problems with Kate and William. Had problems with Charles and Camilla. She couldn't get anything right. Then with her prime ministers, sheesh. They didn't make mention of those things or bring out those points. None of the news sources that I saw and watched, but they were showing you the pomp and the circumstance of when the crown was going to be placed on his head. It looked like the good bishop was trying to screw it on. And Charles looked up at him, you know. He put it on, then he twisted it around, and he turned it around, and he just didn't tap it from the top. Boom, 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 boom. You know, I'm waiting for him to do that next. That's sheesh. But I would have did a little bit more on his clothing. I don't think the clothing fit the situation. I don't think Camilla's gown was that great. That's why I said Charlotte looked better than Granny. Yeah, sheesh. Kate looked better than Granny. The Wales. William and Kate. And William pledging his fidelity to his father. It should have been both brothers. No matter what the brother's title is, if he was going to just be a simple peasant like his uncle when he abdicated the throne, he should have been able to come and kneel in front of his father and pledge his fidelity to him as well, and then be on the balcony. But the Hatfield and McCoys are fighting. They couldn't have that. They're talking now about Harry behind his aunt Anne, with her general hat on, probably the biggest hat in Great Britain now. But she looked good in it. She looked good as the head of the security and watching her and guarding her brother. And that's the way it should have been for the whole total family. They were there for the king. There for the memory of the queen and saying, look, we can bury the hatchet just for one day. But Harry, soon as the proceedings were over at the cathedral, got back in his car, and they said, went back to the airport immediately. Didn't change clothes. I don't know if he took his medals off. That's interesting, because they said he flew commercial. You mean he sat there in commercial with his medals on? Or if he's supposed to be one of the regulars, did he take his medals off of himself? Could they be considered as a weapon because of the pins? Really? Was he allowed to bring his medals on? Or were they taken away and put away for him? Those are facts that should be brought out. And if he flew a commercial, did he fly coach or did he fly first class? And sheesh. What did, how did the people react when they saw him? Why didn't they have a reporter like TMZ waiting at the airport when he showed up, because they know he's coming back within a very few minutes? He's going to be there to get on a plane and come home if it's a private plane. Everybody drop the ball. Another point I bring out, when you got functions like this with a world leader, it's whether it's a coronation, inauguration, or funeral, or wedding, or christening for a baby, or a baby announcement. They're gifts. You don't come empty-handed. I'm wondering what gift did we present, did Jill Biden present to Charles and Camilla and the British people? Because it was done in the name of the people of the United States. We still haven't heard yet about that. Do they not know that's the protocol? And Office of Protocol slipped it. They didn't send something. They didn't do anything but have a bottle of Napa wine. Ashish. There's some cheese from Wisconsin. Ashish. Or maybe like the Lakers, a Lakers jersey signed by Magic Johnson and Shaq or whatever. But we see that nothing. They should show the room, show the gift. I bet there's a room full of gifts that they received, not only from world leaders, but from even school children in Great Britain. Factories and business owners, entertainers. And these things are important. I don't know about the differences of the United States that you got to declare, you know, because they had Thomas about what he received and didn't declare. But what could he keep and what could they not keep? So, like I said, the news source, I would have went differently in handling many of these things. I would have thought it would have made for a much better and a richer show. Because you're not going to have anything wrong. And not, it's just like the wedding. I think Biden's granddaughter got married in the White House. See, that's the thing. It's not the pomp and circumstance that it was before. You knew when the Johnson daughter married in the White House. Ashish. You know when the Nixon's daughters. But how about these people? Biden's granddaughter. Now, one of a Biden or a Biden granddaughter, a comprehensive. Her to the festivities and was at the cathedral. I don't know if that's one got married or not. The news sources is dropping. Take for instance, give you some information. I went to the store, like I said, the next day. And I thought I was going to get all of the newspapers. You know, I told you that's me. And they look at me because I buy every newspaper and they are not, you know, one of each kind. There was not one newspaper that carried one headline about the coronation. Of course, USA Today really don't publish on the weekend, so it probably will be in Monday's edition. But Chicago newspapers and Detroit newspapers around this area and the local newspapers, I didn't see one thing. And I said, my God. Now, if you look at Time magazine, Time, all it's known for its cover. And the people, the famous people on the cover. And if you make Time's cover, it's just like making the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition! Sheesh. And I doubt very much that you're going to see the King, Charles, Kamala on the cover. I would like to see them because that's what should be news. They've been falling short. You know, I was at the, I told you the other day, I was at the store, and where they used to keep the Jet magazines right there in front of the counter because they're so small. We had the Jet and I picked it up the other day, looked at it, but it's beauty and so forth like that. That would have been a great occasion for all the things I asked about black people, whether on this side of the pond or on that side of the pond, could have been explained in a special edition. Now, what they're going to do is sell you a special edition from $15 or more. Let's say $12 or more. Even if you have a subscription, once you have to pay a large fee, when you already have a subscription, that's a large fee for the magazine. And sheesh. And so I was greatly disappointed at the news source when I got to the store, and I said, I was hoping that the people hadn't bought up all the papers. Well, like in this area, the people are just like those dumb fools that mess with me at the store. They're too stupid, and many of them don't know how to read in the first place. So you don't have to worry about them getting it. They were mad because you're getting it. Oh, you got so many papers. That's what they ask you. Which is none of their business. Why don't you? Ah, ah, ah. And I look at him, I know how to hold my peace and hold my cool. Sometimes I say, just check it out, please. Well, I have to say, oh, I love to read. I see. But the situation is here that I feel that history was not served by telling us the past, telling us the present, and then telling us the future. What can we expect from King Charles III and King Camilla? What will happen now with Harry? You know, they showed Andrew, one little snippet of Andrew coming out of the cathedral. But he had on a uniform. Now, with what he did and been accused of, if he can wear a uniform to the festivities, I'm wondering why in the world Harry couldn't wear his military uniform if he wanted to. And I think that he wanted to. I would have no problem with him putting on his military uniform. He may not get paid for it as being one of the working royals, but you always can wear your medals. You could always wear your uniform. So I think that the organizers missed the boat. They had all that time to get peace between William and Harry, Meghan and Kate. If they wanted to, they could have hired me or asked me. I could have made them had peace and laughter and so forth. Also, Mrs. Ragland, Meghan's mother, she's supposed to be a member of the royal family. Nobody mentions her again. She's just a Negro they forgot, but they remember Queen Charlotte, somebody they don't know a damn thing about. And they tell us all about good Queen Charlotte and her white king. And they say, isn't it great? There's the first black queen. Ashish. Just like they were saying, Meghan, the first black princess. Sheesh. We found out that it wasn't what it was cut out to be. Meghan says that. that she wanted to even get a rope and tie it around her neck and jump off of a chair. I put a hose through the car in a garage. Nasheesh. Really, this is her saying that she wanted to commit suicide because she wasn't happy. It wasn't the happy camper that they tried to portray these women as being. And I don't think Queen Charlotte was happy also. The white women weren't happy. What the hell you think that the black woman was going to be happy? You think Queen Elizabeth I was happy? No, she wasn't. Do you think Queen Victoria was happy? No, she wasn't. You think Queen Elizabeth II was happy? No, she wasn't. It's hard out there for a pimp, and it's hard out there for a king and a queen. Sheesh. Now when they're trying to get the money for the rent. Yes, indeed. We're dealing with tonight because we're telling what need we said because they were a little afraid to tell you these facts. Mr. Larry is not afraid to tell you these facts. Mr. Larry is going to tell you the truth. He's going to give you the facts. He's going to give you what the others fail to give you. A double dose of justice and truth. Now, you might not like it. Just like when I, for an occasion, I told you about the young man of color with the cannon. Then I broke it down and told you how it was in India. Then to have something like Bridgerton tell you that the Indian men want to take their Indian daughters to Great Britain to get a white a British husband. What man do you think during that time period who had money and was powerful would have wanted his daughter to marry any white man when they're fighting the British on their soil? Even some British royalty were killed, lost their lives in the war. And then when they taken all of them and tied them up to cannons, now they're shooting cannons for the king. Long live the king. Three cheers. Like I said, little Louis, they're singing his heart out. God save the king. Ashish. You didn't hear him sing God save the queen. Because he was sticking his tongue out and doing these other things. They missed the boat. They're telling you how cute he was. They don't talk about the child psychology. Is that now we show you how Louis could be tamed. Now, if he was a dog or a cat, they'd tell you he's not scratching up the furniture. He's not peeing on the carpet any longer. But Louis, they don't know how to break it down that this child has learned how to act like his brothers and sisters to some degree. That nobody has to talk to him or say anything to him. All he got to do is looking down and smiling at him. I don't know if William and Louis had a meeting of the mind or the meeting of the behind. Sheesh. But he did me proud because he showed what I said. It wasn't his age. It was opportunity. He saw the opportunity he could show up behind in public and he knew he wasn't going to get that many occasions and he's going to make the best of it, which he did. When he find out he ain't going to get too many occasions to show his behind, he's going to be sitting in the castle. It may be taken to the tower. Louis said, oh, hell no. They're going, Georgie and Charlotte is going to these festivities and they dress it up and I'm looking at them on television, looking at them in the newspaper and on the cover of the magazines and so forth. And here I got my habit behind with my little Lord Fauntleroy costume on. Looking to say, what the hell going on? What am I doing here? They eating cotton candy, eating hot dogs and so forth. I'm getting a tuna fish sandwich. See, that make it get some sense very quickly. If you don't have any, you'll learn to get some. And that's what happened to Louis. Louis started doing some self-reflection. And that's what Andrew need to do, and Harry need to do, and William need to do, and Megan need to do, and Kate need to do. That self-reflection, and don't have those problems. Charles don't have those problems. These other people around him are the problems, that they gave the problems to the Queen. So that was the coordination that I saw. It wasn't the coordination that other people saw. They saw the souvenirs, the fake crowns, the rubber Charles and Camilla mask and whatever, you know. Little girl dressed up like little princesses and queens. But they missed the big picture. It's much more than walking down the cathedral hallway to be given the coronation, then to ride back in a golden chariot, if you want to call it, but carriage that have taken his ancestors for hundreds of years. And I'm wondering, technically, do that belong to the Windsors or to the British people? A lot of that stuff you see that you thought belonged to those, the Windsors, don't belong to the Windsors. Estate jewels. And many of them actually belong to foreign countries, and they want their jewels back. Like the Commonwealth and people said, we want our countries back. We still want to, they failed to realize, because I heard them mention that even though they independent, they want to stay in the Commonwealth. Yeah, because their history and our money is in the Commonwealth. Why should you leave the money that you have put there and the lives that you have expended in war and peace to try to go out and look for something else when that's yours? Are they going to pay you reparation so that you can start anew? Yeah, I want peace, but I still want to be a member of the Commonwealth in good standing. And sheesh. There's nothing to me wrong with them doing that. Because the Commonwealth is a financial institution. Now, if you're going to end the Commonwealth, then split the kitty up. And we can go our separate ways. But you don't do that, then we got to come to a meeting of the mind, and that is we got to learn how to live together separately. Because we want our own leadership. Not somebody you sent from Great Britain and call him a governor to watch over us. So those people swaying, the black people, they're swaying and singing, that the white people's mouth dropped open and looking there, and their little flower hats turning around on their head saying, oh my God, the flower wilted, you know, going down. What's happening to the Commonwealth and so forth? Well, you know what's happening to the Commonwealth. Because the Commonwealth have been basically almost dissolved, other than in name, just like the monarchy. I'm one that believes that the monarchy actually is on its last legs. It could really be like the Soviet Union or Russia. Nobody thought that communism would die. Communism died. Even though you still got old communists alive, like the boys in Brazil and so forth, they still exist and run around and trying to sow seeds of discontent, like little Pooty Hood. But the situation is that you got to know which way the wind blows. Great Britain is going to be there. So the United States, if we had not sent a representative, said, no, we don't believe in a colonizer. We're not going to send anybody there. When everybody else is sending a representative, and they're probably going to send a representative to the inauguration of our next president, or to a funeral. You know, the leaders are going to come for Jimmy Carter when he passes on. And I hope that's sometime, you know, not tomorrow, not next month, but when he goes on to glory, as he tried to do work of repentance and his Habitat for Humanity, they're going to come out. You know they're going to come and show their faces. Some of the old people, you know, they show Henry Kissinger on television yesterday. You're going to see people like Kissinger, old Ben Over and so forth, that dealt with him, that was in government with him, and that he visited in foreign countries. He and Rosalynn. These are the things that start now with Charles and Camilla. They're starting their legacy of what they're going to leave behind when they go. Some people don't think that Charles is going to stay that long. Do you think that he's going to abdicate? I don't think he's going to abdicate for his young sons who are fighting each other and got bad names, and the wives are fighting each other. I think he's waited long enough that he is not going to give it up quite yet. Quite yet means for some years. If he lives, it's probably death going to take him before he gives up the throne. And I don't blame him. Let William wait this turn, just like Georgie, just like Louis, just like Harry and Archibald, you know, and Charlotte and Elizabeth. They all got their turns. But really, I enjoyed the festivity. I sat down and watched it. And I thought it could have been better. I didn't like it. And this is something that's different between these people and myself. At the end of the coronation in the cathedral, King Charles and Queen Camilla walked to the doorway where they talked to look like a Jew and a Muslim. I won't give them status because I don't know. They weren't given status by them. I can't give them status as title. But I'm wondering, why could they not been inside the cathedral participating in the events if it's nothing but sitting down there as special guests? Them waiting at the door, to me, is just like the servants when Queen Elizabeth died, waiting for her body to come back, you know, or leave one palace to the other. And their white, black and white pinafores and starched butler uniforms. That's when I saw the maybe rabbi and the imam. And I said, that's a little tacky. Everybody thought that it was cool. Oh, it's diversity. That's the way they always treated people of color. They couldn't come in the front door. They couldn't eat with the rest of the people. They had to eat in the kitchen. So no matter what their position is, they are not as great as Camilla and Charles. Or the black or the white bishop. of Canterbury. I think that it's utterly ridiculous that that was done that way. But everybody else is duped. That's why I say you need that analytical, critical analytical thinking of Larry Demons. To me, that's not a biggie. But if you miss that, you really need some lessons. Because that's straightforward an insult. I would never do that to someone in my house and they come for to honor me for worship. They would be with my worship leaders. If they were at the doorway, then my leaders, religious leaders, would be standing with them, shaking my hand and as I walk by and so forth. But that wasn't the case. So I have, you see the old-fashioned Larry Demons complaining. Yeah, I just had to point out fact because it was missed, just like I see in the production of these writing rooms when we're doing Monday Movie Magic. And I point out how I would have wrote a scene or handled a character because it's quite different. And I think most people enjoy my take on it than they did the original. And now everybody do that. At first they told me, if you don't like it, turn it off. Now the same white guys are running their mouths and saying that, are critiquing something, and they do it all day long. And I talk about spoilers and talk about plot holes. Well, there are spoilers and plot holes in the coordination. So that's what we hit on tonight. Just as well as there's really no record of it until I get the new Time magazine and see, is it going to be there? Because I don't want to pay $20 for a Time magazine of Charles and Camilla. They're already there on covers and so forth. I ain't buying. I ain't even buying a National Enquirer with them on it. Ashish. Or the Star, if they still have it. Folksy, folksy, folksy. If you listen to the House of Larry Demons, you always get doubled up with the justice and truth. Subscribe. Hit that bell to subscribe. Share the program. Share the wealth. Share the sugar. Don't keep it all for yourself. You know, learn to share. If you want to donate to us, we'd be glad to have you do that. Because you listen to the House of Larry Demons, you always get a double help of the justice and truth. We're about ready to get on out of here. One more time, one more again. And like that, used to say that Reverend Cook used to say in Chicago, I don't care what you think about me, but I love you an awful lot. Ishish. Goodbye.